Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. Your hosts, Dr. Dave and Venus Quintana, will entertain, inspire, and ignite your passion for food.
Welcome to Getting Hot in the Kitchen. I am Venus Quintana.
And I am Dr. Dave. Good night, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Maybe it's been a long day.
Okay, he's ready to finish
the
show.
Yeah, no. Bedtime. It's been a really long day. But good evening, not good night.
Good evening, everyone. We, all very, very sad to hear of Prince's death last Thursday, and we just wanted to, honor him by playing, one of my favorite songs of his ever, really, Purple Rain, and I think a lot of people would agree. The incredible, incredible, talented artist died last Thursday at the age of 57. So young. I don't actually think the autopsy report has come in yet.
No. I mean, I know they found him unresponsive in the elevator, the paramedics and what have you. They weren't able to revive him. But, yeah, very, very sad. I actually really brings me back to around 18, maybe 20 years of age, Prince. I mean, Purple Rain, Little Red Corvette, and all these great songs. I remember dance clubs and having a good time dancing with Prince's music, and it was really excellent. But I've never seen him in concert, have you?
I never did see him in concert, no. But not only was he an incredible artist, he was an amazing songwriter. And, you know, even though he came across as being this kind of rambunctious, kind of dirty, perverted guy, he actually was the complete opposite of that. And, you know, it's such a shame. I mean, even, you know, after losing Michael Jackson years ago, it's just so unfortunate, you know, that such talented people leave us so soon.
So, again,
you know...
I mean, I think he was kind of regarded as one of the very best guitar players. And, you know,
he actually lived
quite a clean life, too, and, you know, as compared to many of the rock stars out there and stuff like that. But really, really enjoyed him. But we have a busy show because it's been a busy week. I mean, losing Prince was one sad thing, but we got a lot of positive things. Passover just started, and we had Earth Day, and, oh, my God, it's been quite a week, a lot of things to talk about, but I would love to make sure the callers know if they want to call in to 323-642-1296. So anybody out there that wants to talk about anything from Passover to Earth Day to Prince or anything, questions, comments, come on air and let's talk. I know we have like three special guest callers coming on tonight, so it's going to be an exciting show, Venus.
It is indeed. It's been a busy week, and, you know, happy Passover to everyone who observes. And we're certainly going to be talking a lot about that, you know, all the different foods and interesting traditions and interesting facts that are associated with the holiday. But it's been a very busy week. We've been cooking up a storm.
Oh, my God. I think of all the weeks we've kind of slacked off, we made up big time this week, big time.
We did. So let's start talking about some of the interesting things that we made. My goodness.
You know, there's one thing I want to jump right to. The most amazing thing we made was the simplest of simple, folks. It was Dodoni feta, which is amazing, creamy.
One of the best fettas out there. Expensive, but incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely expensive, but if you're going to make this dish, which I'm going to tell you, was the Dodoni feta. Fresh seedless watermelon and fresh mint. Folks, as easy as cubing, right? Cube the watermelon.
Goodness.
Chiffonade the mint, which means to make it in like little fine strands. Take the feta, crumble it, cube it, mix it up. Oh my God, did we go crazy with that?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
We
simple,
did.
And I love that. Simple is great. Oh, we got a caller already. How cool is that?
Oh, who do we have on
what
the
do
line?
We have? Let's take a look. We have Elaine from Long Island who wants to talk about Passover, so let's bring her on.
Elaine. Hello, Elaine.
Hello, Miss Venus.
Hello, Miss Elaine. Welcome
Your boss
to the show.
Is going to get jealous that I don't call when you're not there.
Happy Passover, my dear.
At me soon. I'm getting tired of eating matzahs.
Oh, so tell us, what have you been making for Passover?
Matzahs and cream cheese.
Matzahs and cream cheese? That doesn't sound like you made anything.
Cream cheese? Is that a tradition?
Well, that's all I could eat. What else do you want me to eat?
Cream cheese? Is that part of your diet?
I don't know. I mean, that's okay. I mean, the matzahs, you know, I know, like, you're trying to stay healthy and what have you, but, I mean, the matzahs right now are fun because you're religious observations and observing, but my God, I think down the road, let's get rid of those. But the cream cheese
chocolate covered matzahs would work.
Oh, for you, I know chocolate covered matzahs. Do they actually make those or what?
No, I bought them.
So they make those. I'm saying you could buy chocolate covered matzahs.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's
yes,
all
you
good.
Can.
Yeah?
What exactly are matzahs made of? I have no idea.
Unleavened bread.
There's no yeast.
Unleavened.
But unleavened bread, right? I mean, it's basically
no
like
yeast.
A cracker.
Right.
And it has no taste, which your boy forgot to
yes.
tell you.
Unleavened and unflavorful.
So that's why you got to dip it in chocolate, right?
Well, if he would say yes, I'm going to go out and get some chocolate-covered matzahs.
Yeah, dark chocolate covered matzahs. It's good for you.
Well, obviously, you two ladies have a whole agenda, which I love.
I want one
chocolate.
Of these.
Every woman loves chocolate, so go for it.
What do you mean every woman loves chocolate? What about men?
I love chocolate.
You don't like eating chocolate at 12 o'clock at night.
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do, but every woman does like chocolate.
Ooh,
I haven't met one yet.
Since he likes chocolate, I'm going to go get him a chocolate donut tomorrow morning. Wednesday morning.
No, dark chocolate bar. Like a very...
A good dark
like
chocolate.
Like a 70% dark chocolate.
Hey,
organic.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Bring it on, though. Bring it on. So, all right.
I can give one to Dan.
Well, give one to Dan. Dan was definitely like a chocolate donut. Dan is a chocolate donut kind of guy.
Well, Dan has to keep his sexy figure, so I don't know. He's going to have to be a little careful how much chocolate...
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
I don't know you two. I really don't. But I love you two. For some odd reason, I love you two.
We love you too. For some very odd reason, Elaine, so...
You know what? When you're all crazy in the pool, it's all good. It's all good. So listen.
By the way, Venus.
Yes.
I'm going to see my boyfriend before I see your friend over there.
Well, I hope this boyfriend is, treating you good, and I'm very happy to hear about that, my dear.
Yeah, I'm paying for his meal. He better treat me damn good.
Damn.
Oh, okay, my dear. Well, good luck with that.
Anybody want matzahs free of charge?
No.
I'm good for now.
I must say, if I'm going to go carb crazy, and I'm going to end with this statement on this call.
Uh-oh.
When I get a good, really good, light, fluffy matzah bowl in chicken broth with the real chicken and carrots and celery and onion.
Oh, yum.
Oh, my God.
Would you like some for Thursday morning?
I would like it, and actually, you should bring it in warm with a spoon.
Yum,
bring it
yum.
On, baby.
Chicken noodle soup or matzo ball soup? Which one would you prefer?
Matzo ball soup. Matzo.
At 10 o'clock in the morning?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, we'll bring you in a
Better
cup of
matzo. Better than a donut
soup.
For me. Bring it on.
You got to
well,
share it
Elaine...
With
you. thank you for calling in, and you know, good luck with the boy toy. I mean, the boyfriend.
So listen, we got a lot of callers tonight, my dear, and you have a date tonight, as far as I understand. So we will talk to you next Monday night. I will see you for our matzo ball soup rendezvous, and we'll go from there.
I got to see you again on Thursday. Oh my God.
Oh,
I know. That's going to be tough.
God.
One, but you'll get through it. You'll get through it. So
you know what? Woody wishes you a happy Passover, and Dan would actually like to get together with you for Passover. So
wait, what?
Yeah, no. Happy Passover from Woody,
okay.
And I'm just reading between the lines. I think Dan would like you to come to the green room with him.
Oh. Okay. So, well, you go to the green room with Dan.
Tell him he's got 7 more days to go.
Do you have a passport?
Yes.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
You need a passport to go see Dan, but he is in lockdown right now. He's
like
got a beautiful
so
girlfriend
popular.
who's
Now, why are you setting me up with Dan if he's got a girlfriend?
He's got a girlfriend. He's very happy. I mean, every woman should want a guy like this, but you know what? You're going to have to wait.
Yeah, seriously, Dan is hot.
You know what? Wait. You are
like
number...
So
wait. No, you're number 57. Number 57.
Okay. Well, Elaine, have a great night, okay? We'll talk to you soon.
I got to talk to him about that on Thursday.
Okay.
You shall.
You do that.
Good night.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Poor Dan, the juicer man. Every woman wants this guy. I mean,
well, I have to tell you, Dan, I mean, nothing, you know, it's just very objectively speaking, but he really is, like, just an amazingly hot man. I mean, in shape, he's healthy, he's just incredible. You know, I mean, who wouldn't want a guy like that?
You know what? He's probably blushing so fucking much right now. He's probably like a rouge. So, Dan, in the green room, I think your head just blew up, might have exploded. Ground yourself. Breathe.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But you know what? We're up to 57 on the wait list. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. anyway, thank you, Elaine, so much for calling in and telling us about your...
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Oh, goodness. So back to basics. You know, Elaine always throws us off as much as we love her. She's a wild one. So let's continue, Dr. Dave.
Well, we got a busy, busy week. So Passover.
Let's
shall we talk about
Passover?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I would love that. And then I want to go through our week in food. We have so many things. Earth Day. I mean, my God. And we have callers coming in very soon, I think. I think our first call is coming up quite soon, actually. So let's talk about Passover.
Always remember, Eliezer, he passed over your house.
You know what? The friggin' mailman passes over my house every night. Every friggin' day, the mailman passes over my house. I'm waiting for checks. I'm waiting for the lotto to come through. Publisher's Clearing House, he passes me over every
day. So let's talk. David is going to tell us a little bit about Passover and the history of Passover.
Yes. Yes. So I'm going to do my best job as a goyim. All right?
Ah, goyim, yeah.
Goyim, oi. So, you know what I understand and I've read, and I have a lot of great friends who have been grown up in the Jewish families and traditions and stuff like that. So Passover has got actually a pretty cool meaning to it. It's passing from one state of mind to another, and from unfounded hatred to unbounded solidarity and love. So that's one quote I found, which I really love. But Pesach in Hebrew, and anybody out there who's Jewish, forgive me, I am a goyim, just means passed over. So at one point, the story goes back that God was going to strike down the Egyptians and the firstborns, and the Hebrews actually put a little marking on their doorpost with blood of a slaughtered lamb to say, pass over us. So. A little heavy there, but something to think about. But Passover is truly a festival of freedom, and I think that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So.
And now, when did Passover begin? I know it lasts for what, 7 days, 8 days?
Well, this year it's April 22nd to April 30th.
So last Friday. So Friday
yes.
it started.
Yes.
Okay, and it ends on Saturday, I think. This Saturday.
Oh, we have a caller.
Oh. Bravo. Who do we have on the line?
Let's bring in on Rochelle from Victoria, British Columbia. Rochelle.
Oh, Rochelle, hello.
Hello, Dr. Dave and Venus. How are you?
Hi. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
how are you?
Rochelle.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course. What's going on?
Well, as you know, Passover started on Friday, so we're
yes.
in the middle of celebrating and eating.
Well, that's always
it.
A wonderful part of the tradition. Now, tell us, what are some of your favorite dishes that you like to make or eat?
Well, my favorite, actually my children's favorite, is my homemade booby style chicken vegetable soup.
Mm.
Loaded with real chicken and lots of veggies, almost like a stew.
Yum.
It is yum.
Now you say boobies, what does that mean? Like that's like
boobies.
Grandma?
Like grandma style.
Oh, yum yum.
Wow.
Not
what kind of
stew.
What kind of chicken do you use in that, Rochelle? Like
We just use a frying chicken, like a small, you know, utility chicken. And I cook it in the pot, and then I skim the stuff off the water that you don't want to have.
Yeah.
And then I add in carrots and celery and parsnip and purple-top turnip and lots of onion and, yeah, very basic. And then I add
in some fresh turnip.
I love turnip.
Turnip
awesome
is all. Is that what gives it that velvetiness in the soup to make it almost like a stew?
It is, but my kids don't know what's in there.
Don't tell them.
Well,
do not tell
exactly,
them.
Yes.
Do not tell them.
Yes.
So, yes, and you just cook that overnight because you want to slow cook it to get all the flavors, and you spice it up with some garlic and onion and pepper. And, you know, a little goes a long way. I don't like to overspice it, you know.
Right.
And
now
then
Rochelle.
I add. Yes, go ahead.
One question, when you say you cook it overnight,
yeah,
what are you
like
cooking
a crock
it in?
Pot
like
or
a
on the
yeah,
stovetop?
Crock pot, or how do you do that?
A big pot. Just have it a very low simmer so you're not roll boiling it.
On the stove?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, you are a brazen one, aren't you? You know, I've
Absolutely.
Never had the nerve, Rochelle, to cook anything overnight or if I leave the house. I just.
Yeah.
Oh
wow.
My God. I respect what you're doing because I know that must be like the elixir of life, that chicken soup. But you don't get nervous? Do you check on it a couple times?
I would get
or?
Nervous, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. But, you know, if you do it in a crock pot, it's not the same flavor.
It's not.
You know,
right.
No, you got, and I have the same pot I use every year. It's my chicken soup pot.
Yeah, yeah, I do too.
Now, is it a thick gauge pot? Like a thick wall pot, or like what is it made out of? Because I mean, people.
I don't know, like a normal pot.
A normal
I
pot.
Remember the pot that I
yeah.
had. Remember the pot that I always used.
Yeah,
here,
yeah,
that
yeah. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other favorite thing I love making is my star-winning beef brisket.
Oh my goodness! Oh wow!
You know what, I might just change face at this point, Rochelle. Just
Yum.
Letting you know, I might actually go from a goyim to Jew.
Well, I have many goyim at my table, and we all enjoy it. It's all about sharing.
Oh,
of
I
course.
Love it.
Yes,
so do tell about the beef brisket. Oh, my God.
Mm.
Okay. Well, okay, I'll share my secret, but don't
Ooh.
Really tell anybody. So I buy a 5-pound brisket, and I just have them trim some of the fat off. You need some there.
Okay.
And I put a bunch of cut up sweet onion in the bottom of the pan, a roasting pan.
Mm-hmm.
And I lay the meat on top, and I make friends with it. I say, okay, you're going to be yummy tonight.
Mm.
And then I sprinkle it with lots of spices. You can cheat if you want and use Knorr's onion soup. It's a dehydrated mix if you want to do that. And I also put lots of garlic on top, lots of dried mustard. Keen's mustard is the best.
Which one? Which one? Say that again for us.
Keen's.
K-E-E-N-S?
N-E-S.
Oh, okay.
Comes in a yellow tin. And then some people use beer for to marinate. I use sangria.
Sangria?
Really?
Yes. And then I only add a dash of water because, you know, I got to pretend it's non-alcoholic. Before I cook it. And you let that sit in the pot overnight. Let it marinate. Stick it in the oven for 500 for half an hour. Drop it down to 325 and cook it for 2 more hours. And I got to tell you, people can't wait to eat it.
Like butter.
I so want that right
like
now, Rochelle.
So now what would you serve on the side with that, Rochelle?
Well, with that, I would serve either roast or roast chicken or rotisserie chicken as well. So there's a choice of protein. I prefer rotisserie chicken and cut that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll do roast potatoes and, of course, all kinds of vegetables, you know, like broccoli, green beans, maybe some carrots, you know, add a bunch. This year we just did the green beans and the broccoli. Yeah,
now, do you
that's
do
a lot
what's
of food.
Called the Harris set, which I just picked up on when we were researching for the show, which is the apple, nuts, wine, and cinnamon?
Harosis.
Well, I knew I'd bastardize anything I tried tonight, so forgive me, Rochelle.
No,
and
it's all good. There's many ways to make that, and my kids love that, and I have to make extra so they can snack on it. So that's an easy one. Yeah, you just get a nice apple, like maybe a Red Delicious or a Gala.
Love the Galas.
Aren't they great? And the Pink Ladies are nice, too.
Oh, I love them.
Oh, Pink Ladies. We haven't played with those recently.
They're one of my favorites, yes.
And then you peel them and pair them and take the core out. And you get your grater. I coarsely shred them, and I get the unbleached slices of almonds. I don't use walnuts. A lot of people use walnuts.
Oh,
we don't like walnuts in this house. So we use lots of almonds, and you put in as much as you like. And then we add lots of cinnamon and lots of honey and then a dash of red wine.
Right.
And you let that, and you let that sit, and it's so good.
Oh, my God. Sounds amazing.
Now, is that some kind of, almost like maybe, you know, with a meal you would have like a relish or a chutney? Or is it something of that nature where you would just kind of have it as sort of like an accompaniment to the meat or something like that?
Yeah, you can, but really that's for when we're actually telling the story of Passover.
There's symbolism
and
there, right? What's the symbolism?
Yeah. Pardon me?
What's the symbolism of that? I know like apple and honey, there's some symbolism there.
Yeah, it's like the mortar, the bricks.
Okay.
So we use it in the story, but like I said, I always make extra because my kids love it. So if they want to have it with their dinner, it's apples and almonds. I'm not going to say no.
Yeah,
and we have, of course, horseradish and pickles, you know, the usual stuff.
Wow. Now, do you, is that fresh horseradish you're shredding or you buy it?
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I have to learn to make the fresh horseradish. My brother-in-law has an awesome recipe, and I have to bribe him to share it with me. But I have bought the fresh, and I have, with the potato peeler, put a few slices down. Man, I won't touch it. I'm not brave enough, but my son loves it.
Really?
It's hot.
it's so good.
It is.
Now, I heard it's hot up in Victoria, Canada right now. Is this unseasonably hot or what's going on?
It's 14 and sunny. It's wonderful. It was warmer closer to the weekend, we had breaking temperatures of mid-20s, and it was perfect weather.
Wow, that's incredible.
Now, is Victoria an island, or it's on the coast?
Victoria is the capital of British Columbia, and it is located on Vancouver Island, which
wow.
is an hour and a half from Vancouver by ferry. It's a fabulous place to come. Lots of stuff to do.
Oh, we should take a trip there one day.
That's a must.
Fabulous.
Now, is that? Can you take a ferry, Rochelle, from Seattle to there?
You can, and Port Angeles, and Anacortes.
Because I was in Seattle, and I remember there was a ferry terminal or depot, whatever you call it. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God. Venus, we're in. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Done. Can we do Passover
awesome.
Any time of year, by the way, if we come and visit? Because we don't ask. We'll send you an email about a week before.
Sure, come for Passover. I'd love to cook. Come. I'm a Jewish mummy. I got to feed people. I don't like skinny people, so come.
See, that's like,
no skinny people here. Don't you worry.
I'm Italian, and I know that the Jewish and the Italians, it's about like, you know, you guys don't say mangia. Do you have like a word for that, like mangia?
Mangia.
Eat.
You want to nosh, you want to eat. No, just eat.
You keep it very simple. I like that.
You don't mess around.
I like
that. The Italians
that.
And Jews were very close cousins, I believe.
Very close cousin, very passionate.
Indeed.
A little emotional.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It's all good.
Going.
As long
mm-hmm.
as at the end of the day we have a nice meal together.
That's
Indeed.
Right.
Amen to that. Well, my God, Rochelle, thank you for calling in.
Oh, it was wonderful
thank you for
to hear
me.
Everything that you've been doing and cooking and, you know, giving us some great tips. And now we're, like, really hungry. So, I don't know, Dr. Dave's going to have to cook for me.
Oh, it's a very special time of year for families, so you must have special foods, you know.
Definitely.
So, definitely. And you can't leave the table hungry. You must be overfull.
love it.
You know what? Right now you're getting me patience. Keep going. You'll build a practice this way. You tell them to overeat, and they'll come to me. Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Have a lovely, lovely evening, and enjoy the rest of Passover.
Yes, enjoy your holiday, and thank you for calling in. You've been a wonderful guest, and anytime you want to call in, please do.
Indeed.
Thank you, Dr. David Venus.
Okay, have a good
and
night.
And you know what? We got a big shout out here from Woody across the board here. So
oh, yay.
Rochelle.
I love Woody. Hello, Woody.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Call cool, anytime.
Night.
Bye.
Night.
Bye.
That chicken, that soup sounded so delicious, no?
Oh, my God.
So delicious.
All that sounds good. Beef brisket. Oh, my God. Venus.
You know, I'm thinking now, when you know, Rochelle mentioned the parsnips and the turnips, wouldn't it be interesting? I mean, let's think about what did we actually find in the supermarket the other day that I was so interested
God.
In is the black radish.
Yes.
Oh,
all
my goodness.
Root vegetables.
I mean, I love red radishes. I've always loved them. My mum loved them growing up. You know, we'd always just slice them up and eat them raw and just so good for you. And I saw in the supermarket a little while ago the black radish. It looks, it's like the size, I guess, of a beet. Okay, it looks like the beet with the big...
Wait, it looks like a beet with the blackness of like a stone, though.
Yeah,
it's
like
dark.
Black, like charcoal black, like the weirdest thing. It's just like one of those things you see that I just had to buy it. And we bought it, had this huge long stem sticking out of it. Wow, how amazing is this? I mean, how are we going to eat this? Are we going to eat it raw?
Honest.
Are we going to cook it?
Be honest. When you saw the sign, did you think it was actually going to be black inside? Because I did.
Not really.
Oh, you are a liar.
I was kind of, you know, on the fence about that. But then what happened is when I saw it again, actually we saw it in North Shore Farms here on Long Island, I saw a radish that actually had been cut into for some reason, and it was white. It was pure white inside. And I was like, wow, we have to try this. So I just picked one up, and it laid in the fridge for a few days. And then when did we cook? Last night?
So how simple was that?
So I cut into the radish, I cut off the stem and the bottom, and sure enough, it was pure white. I mean, I wouldn't say pure white, but close enough to white.
I would actually say it was pretty beautiful white.
Oh, my goodness. It was so gorgeous. I mean, basically, I chopped it up into kind of like almost like oversized dice.
Yes.
And
almost kind of like a, like when you cut up like a potato,
yes.
You know, for like a roast. Yeah.
I mix it up with some olive oil, salt and pepper, put it in a Pyrex dish, and basically just put it in the oven.
Wait, you did all this? Or
yes.
Did we? You or
yes.
We?
Well, we did. And we basically roasted it for about, 45 minutes?
Yes, very, very much so. It just came out so beautiful. Okay, so what I want to talk about is these black radishes. I mean, oh my God, they are so, so, so good.
All doctors to the ER.
Oh, Venus, I got to go. I'm going to go to the ER and let's talk about radishes in general.
All doctors to the ER.
So here we go, Venus, going down the hallway to the ER here, and I've got to tell you something, Venus. When I was a kid, I did not like radishes whatsoever. These red radishes, too bitter, too sharp for me. Didn't like them in salad. I always put them to the side. But this black radish, folks, amazing. You cut into it, you peel it, and like Venus said, we just cubed it up, a little salt, pepper, olive oil. Put it in the oven. It was absolutely amazing. But what I was really, really happy to know is radishes are extremely happy to put in your diet. They're actually a cruciferous vegetable, which is similar to like broccoli, cauliflower, kale,
ooh.
I mean, Brussels sprouts, all this stuff. Yeah, ooh. I mean, that's got anti-cancer benefits, Venus. It's so amazing. But what I like about the – really? Yeah, serious, really. But the great thing is they're basically like void of calories. They're great for digestion, but specifically the black radish is amazing as a digestive aid. So that's great to know. All the cruciferous as the radish have this anti-cancer effect. The sore throat alone is a great thing to know about in the winter. Like, so if you're having a sore throat, what have you, try some radishes. They're very cooling from a energetic standpoint in the like Ayurvedic and or the Chinese perception of how different foods have different properties. So this is a cooling.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is. It is.
Now, what about if I was just thinking about putting these black radishes in a soup? Because they have similar properties to almost kind of or textures to parsnips, right? And carrots, I feel like. I don't know.
Well, they have that texture. I'd actually say more like a parsnip than a carrot. I mean.
Right.
But they're actually sharp.
Amazing. Amazing.
But, I mean, again, these radishes from a health standpoint, amazing. Again, don't forget what I said. I didn't like the red radishes as a kid, but these black radishes were.
You didn't? Oh, I like the red radish because they were spicy.
No, I didn't like them too much. So
they're
too
nice,
so.
Sliced, very thin in a salad.
Didn't work for me. But these black radishes, I actually had wished we had more. And it was so perfect on the side dish. I mean, let's go back to the stuff we made this week, Venus. We went crazy with cooking, crazy, crazy, and you know what? It's just like. Oh, my God. We did this brine turkey last night. Folks, it was...
Can I just tell you...
Perfect.
Goodness, you don't even kiss me that good. What's up with that?
You just half asleep when I do it. Oh, my God. So we brined a turkey breast. A little salt, a little sugar. I did all kinds of spices, peppercorns, the whole thing. And we brined it overnight. You drain it, you pat it down, and we put it in the oven until it was 180 degrees, sliced it. Please, folks, whenever you're cooking anything, get it out early. Let it cook a little bit on the stovetop as it keeps going. Never cut into any kind of roast until it rests at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We sliced it. It was like butter.
It really was. I have to say, and, you know, as a child growing up, you know, me and my mom, we never liked turkey. You tell my mom you're making turkey tonight, let me tell you, she's not going anywhere. I mean, turkey to us equal dry.
You know what?
Dry,
Was there any dry to that?
No.
No. Briny. That is a trick. Briny.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable turkey.
And then we did the roasted eggplant with that, the baby eggplant. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
We got it nice and crisp. Yum, yum, yum. Paper thin, a little basmati rice. And we did, I think that was it for that one. That was amazing. But the big thing was yesterday. We went to the beach and we catered it ourselves. Venus, would you like to kick in there with everything we did?
It was absolutely amazing. I've never seen a spread like this.
Who made this, by the way?
I have to admit, Dr. Dave definitely did, you know, a little bit of the work.
Wait, a little bit of the work while you were taking a shower and getting ready? Yeah, a little bit of the work.
I know Dr. Dave, he was very busy organizing a wonderful picnic for us, and it was incredible. I mean, I told him as we were laying on the beach, I said, I don't know one person who's eating this good on the beach. I mean, everyone's eating, you know, Subways and Heroes and chips and...
You are so popular.
Oh, my God, yes, you are. And but he made a wonderful spread. And one of my favorite things that he made was we bought this incredible, huge watermelon. You know, when you buy a watermelon that's whole, obviously you can't see inside, and you always kind of take a bit of a gamble because a watermelon can end up just being just totally terrible and have no taste
and
be completely unripe and not sweet. But we really lucked out. And this watermelon, seedless watermelon, was gorgeous, super red, super sweet. And Dr. Dave, diced that up into some, you know, pretty sizable chunks. And basically...
No. Perfect chunks.
Okay,
perfect chunks.
Yes, I'm sorry, I used the wrong word.
Yes.
And basically mixed it up with the Dodoni feta that we bought. That's one of my favorite fetas. I mean, there's so many different fetas out there. There's a domestic, the Bulgarian feta, but the Dodoni actually happens to be one of the most expensive, but just so creamy and just perfect.
Perfect.
So mix it up with the watermelon, and then chiffonade of mints, fresh mint.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know what else to be putting there. A bit of
that was it.
Seasoning?
Well, you could do a little salt, pepper, if mm-hmm. you want. You could do a little olive oil. You could actually do a little lemon. But you know what? They're so pristine, perfect with the watermelon, the Dodoni feta, and if you can't get it, don't not make it, and the fresh mint. And
I think a bit of lemon, though. A little
the
bit
little
of lemon
good.
Would definitely add to it. So that was absolutely incredible, and that
stunning.
Was really one of the first dishes we had, sort of like almost like an appetizer, and so refreshing when you're sitting in the sun and, you know, you want to hydrate, right? Because watermelon is, what, 90% water or something, right?
Yeah, yes.
That was incredible.
Low glycemic, high in lycopene, similar to tomatoes, so it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, great stuff.
So we had that. We made a delicious mozzarella.
Wait, what's this we shit?
I'm sorry, we. There's no I in we or whatever. Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
David.
So I made what?
Fresh mozzarella.
And I got up at 2 in the morning to make the mozzarella.
Red peppers and what else did you put in there?
A little balsamic, a little olive oil, fresh herbs. Oh, my God.
Just incredible.
Delicious. Delicious.
What else did you make?
Where I made also, I didn't make the gravlax, but I have gravlax, and we did it with some English cucumber, some fresh avocado, and oh my God, was that just amazing.
Mm.
And then I think that the best part was that lamb burger. I made lamb burgers with a Mediterranean seasoning.
Oh my goodness.
And just cooked them so well. We put them on baby greens. And on the side, I made an Asian Savoy slaw.
That was amazing. I could eat that forever.
Yeah. It was so clean and crisp and just amazing, yeah.
And you put a little bit of gorgonzola on top of that lamb burger.
Oh, I did. Dirty.
That was a dirty burger.
Dirty.
A dirty burger. An interesting thing is that we were actually on the beach for probably at least 4 hours. So, you know, this meal ended up being sort of a progressive meal, if you will, you know. And so we were eating a dish, what, every hour or something?
Pretty much.
Oh, it was absolutely incredible. So I was very, very happy with that.
And we even did a very simple, we did the salumi, which is the Italian way to say salami.
Mm-hmm.
But it was encrusted in a pepper crust. And we had that with one of my favorite cheeses, which is from Spain, Manchego. And it was encrusted in rosemary. Yum. Yum, yum.
Oh, yes. And we actually used that watermelon the first night that we bought it to make that incredible watermelon martini, right?
Which I dubbed as the Watermelon Weekend Welcomer.
Mm.
And it did welcome the weekend on, no?
So we ended up using, you know, my favorite new Ninja blender
that Ninja
David purchased for me.
I did.
And it's so great because, you know, watermelon, you cut it up, you throw the chunks into the blender, you know, you start blending it and it literally turns into juice. There's that much water in it. So we blended the watermelon and we ended up adding in a little bit of mint.
Oh, we have a caller coming in, so finish that up. Let's hear.
So so we did the watermelon, the mint, in the blender.
But we drained it. We drained it.
Well, we ended up straining it.
Yes.
So we strained all the pulp out of it. And then we ended up shaking it up with some vodka. Incredible.
We put vodka in it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But yes, we did. Yeah.
Wasn't sure if I was allowed to say that.
Yes,
okay.
We are. So you know what? We have a caller coming in. Let's.
Who do we have?
Who do we have? Paula Hess from Toronto.
Oh, Paula,
yeah,
hello.
Toronto. Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good,
hello,
my
Paula.
Dear. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Well, I'm getting hungry listening to your recipes.
Oh, me too. Oh, my goodness. So hungry.
Yeah, so I think you had a previous caller or earlier caller discussing Passover, perhaps.
Yes.
Passover recipes?
Yeah.
Now, I turned in a bit late because actually it's my birthday and people kept calling, so I had to keep turning off your show.
Oh, happy birthday, Paula.
Thank
you. This is the first time we've had a birthday caller.
How lovely.
Yeah.
How does
so
25
has any...
feel? Good? Good?
I guess so. It's good to have a birthday. That's what they say.
Oh, happy, happy, happy birthday.
Thank you. So has anyone discussed gefilte fish recipes?
No,
no,
they haven't. So go for it. I want to hear this.
Yeah, let's
so
talk
I
about
assume...
that a bit.
Yeah, I assume you've eaten it.
You know what, I'm going to be honest, Paula?
I actually don't think I have,
never had gefilte fish.
Well,
and if it's
really,
homemade, that's the way I want to start.
Yeah, it's really good because it really just means chopped fish.
So what kind of fish
so,
do you use in
yeah,
that, Paula?
Yeah, tell us.
You would use whitefish or pike or pickerel. I mean, you could use carp as well. It depends whatever kind of whitefish you might like.
Now,
right.
Is it smoked, Paula,
yeah,
or it's just raw?
No, it's just raw fish. So basically, mm-hmm, you would kind of grind it up with some onion and egg yolks and salt and pepper and lemon juice and water. You put a little sugar in it. And then essentially, you would prepare a pot with, boil, you know, some water. And some people actually use other parts of the fish if they buy a whole fish. I don't think they do anymore, but you could put
right
in just to give the soup the right, you know, thickness
and
flavor.
You know what, Paula, I want you to come right back to this. We have a special guest calling in just for you.
Okay.
Stand by.
Okay.
Just for you, Paula.
Oh, who's this?
Happy, happy birthday from all of us to you. Happy, happy birthday. May all your dreams come true. May you have happy birthdays now and your whole life through. Happy, happy birthday from Getting Hot in the Kitchen to you.
Wow, that was amazing. Thank you. Wow.
Paula.
That was my best wish all day.
You know what, Paula? On national radio, you were just serenaded by the amazing, just absolutely amazing Woody House. our executive producer.
Aww.
And what a golden, sweet voice he's got. So happy birthday.
How Thank
lovely.
You. I had no idea that, you know, that's amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Woody.
So go back to the gefilte fish, but you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, so you boil all these fish parts in water, and you add carrots and onions and salt and pepper to the water. And the whole idea is to make these balls very light. So you don't really add any, well, on Passover you wouldn't add breadcrumbs, but you don't add matzah meal or anything. You don't want to thicken it up. And you sort of make spoon-sized balls, and you kind of drop them in the water and hope they stay together.
wait, and that's too much hoping. How do you put them like on the spoon and load a spoon into the water like a gentle boil? Did we lose you?
Oh.
We might have lost
her. Paula.
Paula?
Oh, she's still live. Not really sure what's happening, but
maybe we'll get her back.
Yeah, we got disconnected. No, they come out really light, and they're really delicious, and you can slice them or just eat them. Use horseradish on that. Really is a great
contrast.
I think we've got
to try this.
Now, do you
serve, is that
room temperature?
Yes, often cold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can put it on lettuce to make it look pretty, and you can use those kind of beet color horseradish, so as a contrast and a few.
Yeah, color contrast.
I love that.
Slices of carrots, like circles on top of the fish, so that's really nice. And this recipe came from really an ancestor from the middle of Europe, probably, I know, it's an old recipe from probably 1900, but probably way before that because they just brought it over here. So, really,
I mean, definitely
lots of
sounds
fun.
Healthy. Sounds healthy.
Yeah, I think
it
is.
Satisfying,
yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Oh, and I forgot to add that you have to beat egg whites and put them into the mix.
Oh, so that's your binding agent?
Yeah, I think that's your binding agent.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
What fish is your favorite, though? If you had to pick one to put in that, or do you like more like a combination?
Probably whitefish.
Oh.
Okay,
you know
yeah.
When you have all that stuff in it, you probably don't know the difference.
You know what, though? I got to tell you, Paula, I love smoked whitefish with horseradish. Oh, my God.
Delicious.
I could whack out the whole fish. I mean, my God, it's so good. Oh, my God, it's lovely.
No, that's really delicious. Here in Canada now, it's very expensive.
Is it expensive? Why?
Yeah, it's very expensive. I don't know. All these delicacies have become extremely expensive.
That's too bad because, I mean, it's such a nice fish. I like the chubs, too, but I much prefer the whitefish.
Indeed.
Oh, I agree.
The chub, is that kind of related? I don't know, but they kind of taste the same, but there's nothing like that thick white flesh of the whitefish, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Absolutely.
Oh, I
so
love
So there
this.
You
I
go.
Love
there's something of interest if you haven't tried it.
I'll
send the recipe
to you. It sounds lovely.
Send the recipe through Dan or Woody.
Indeed.
Well, we will get
I
that.
I love the sound of that. Thank you, Paula, so much.
And you
much.
Know what, Paula? Happy birthday. And thank you for taking time out of your birthday night to call in.
Well, thank you, and carry on.
Bye. And
wow,
you carry
like
on.
That. That's
I
like
love
a
it.
British thing. Carry on.
Carry on now.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, we're in Canada. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you, Paula, so much for calling into the show, and you have a wonderful evening.
Have a beautiful night. Happy birthday, my dear.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night-night.
So that doesn't sound so bad, right?
No. I want to try it now. Like, unfortunately, I've never seen gefilte fish made from scratch.
Yeah.
I've seen it in the manischewitz or whatever that is
so bad
bottle
it, right?
On the grocery store shelf. So
I mean, I like anything like that, like
herring,
fish, you know, I just like that stuff.
I love
like very
that.
European things
too,
you know.
I think we have to make it from scratch. We'll get the recipe from Paula. Because I do not want to try it out of the bottle on the first go-round.
No, no. I think it would be very, very nice to make it from scratch. Because, you know, when you haven't tasted something ever before and you end up just buying something off the shelf, I mean, you're not really... It's not a true representation of what it could possibly be.
No,
so
no,
everything is always better made fresh. So that sounds absolutely delicious.
Now, speaking of fresh, we have been doing some crazy, crazy cool juices this week.
Oh, we have. We have indeed. I have to say, I especially enjoyed the juice that we made just a few days ago, you know. I mean,
yes.
For the last couple of weeks, we've been making our juices with red beets.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, if I wait, can you tell the story or shall I tell the story?
I can't. I just can't.
May I do it on air? May I?
Uh-huh.
Is this appropriate? All right, so, folks, we made this juice. I mean, it had everything, carrots, celery, fennel, radish, turmeric. Note the beet. Note the turmeric at the moment of the story. Parsley. Note that. Cilantro, ginger, lemon. I think that might have been it. So anyway.
That was it? Really? I don't think that's enough.
Green apple. Green apple.
Mm-hmm.
And there might have been one or two others. But so here's the story. So Venus and I make this beautiful antioxidant-rich juice.
Oh, God.
I mean, when you looked at it, you haven't seen red until you've seen red like this. All right? So
it's like
it's
like a purple red, isn't it?
It was like paint. It was like ink.
Yeah.
But it tasted so very good. So Venus is in real estate, as well as all the other wonderful things she does. So on Sunday, we went to an open house that she had, and I go there. I'm basically her driver and what have you. And it was from 1 to 3. So this house has been on the market for a while. It was like $2.5 million house. And this wonderful family came in, they're Guyanese, and we were just chatting with them. They were so amazing, and we were talking about their curries and all their different foods. So Mr. Dave, I'm not even going to say Dr. Dave at the moment, did an oops, a big oops. So Venus goes, you know what? We have the juice in the fridge. Now, this is a brand-new build. There's no paper towels and nothing to clean up. Everything was brand new and pristine. Let me set the message with that. So I go to grab this juice and show the family, and we had done a vacuum seal on it, and the vacuum seal...
Wait, no. There's too many people in we. I, Dr. Dave, did the vacuum seal.
Correct.
Okay.
So
I want to make things very clear to our audience.
All right. So I grab the bottle, and the vacuum seal... just like drops out, and the whole thing hits this counter, and you know, like those slow motion. I see this red juice splash up on my very expensive shirt. I must say, I was very disappointed.
But the more expensive granite counter.
$2.5 million house kitchen. Red everywhere. I mean. Red, purple rain. So Venus looks at me, the buyers look at me, and of course the builder had to be there that day.
Oh my goodness.
What's the matter with you?
I mean, really, what's the matter with me? I had stocking feet on. I run out through the front lawn into the street, ooch out, and I pop my trunk, and thank God I have my gym bag in there. I grab a towel, I run back, I clean this entire kitchen up. Everybody's looking at me in absolute, like, what the living God. And at the end, what was my statement? And the builder gave me a wink. I said, look at this. This kitchen cleans up so wonderfully. Look at this. We had red beet juice, and it didn't even stain this beautiful.
Oh, you saved your ass.
I saved my ass. Don't. I mean, don't.
So anyway, needless to say, after that day, we decided that we were going to give Beats a little bit of a break. Okay.
I have PTSD of a Beats. I
we
have
were getting
PTSD.
A little tired of Beats. And, you know, sometimes I think the Beats, you know, the Beats really have a very high sugar content, right?
They do.
And they're sweet.
Yes.
So whenever you add Beats to the juice, it just, it makes it into almost like a sweeter juice, which is okay, but sometimes you want more of a kind of, you know, really kind of
earthy,
green,
yeah,
kind of tasting juice. So that's what we did a couple of days ago. We named it the Green Goblin. And we ended up, oh, my goodness, we packed in there Swiss chard, kale.
Mustard greens.
Mustard greens. Dandelion. We really got super sexy and exotic.
Really, really, really.
And everything else that normally would have put in... what else?
We still did the celery. We did the apple.
Cucumber,
we did the
carrots.
Cucumber, carrots. We did
ginger,
lemon.
Ginger.
Ooh.
Oh my
and it just
gosh.
Came out this very kind of really earthy green flavor.
Wait,
and
earthy? Like as in Earth Day?
Earth Day.
Earth Day.
April 22nd.
Yes.
Earth Day.
Did we make a juice that day? I hope we did.
Commemorating, I think, 46 years. No, since 1970.
I'm going to go with what you said is
true.
Yeah,
since 1970. But we're definitely going to talk about that in just a moment. So we had the drink. We named it Green Goblin. And I have to tell you, on drinking it, it was absolutely incredible. It was super spicy. It's like drinking a Bloody Mary. You know, when you get that spice, it just hits.
No, it bit your face.
Your
it bit your face.
That was, you know, the ginger, obviously, but more so the mustard greens.
Now, mustard greens have a very spicy background.
They literally taste like mustard. When you eat them raw,
yeah,
they taste like
yeah,
mustard. It's amazing.
Do.
And dandelion, too, which is an incredible diuretic, right?
Diuretic.
So, you know, you pee like 10 times a day, which is clearly inconvenient but very good for you. So I was just absolutely just amazed by this drink that we made. And, you know, we're going to continue to really sort of experiment.
I want to try it out on the next open house you have.
Green?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
why not?
Green,
come on.
Splashing on a granite countertop.
Yeah.
A little bit of purple. Yeah, green is okay.
Green is okay.
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about Earth
I
Day.
I would love to.
April 22nd. I believe 1970 was the first Earth Day, and you know, it's become so huge. It's bigger than ever, and I don't know, what did we do for Earth Day? I think we actually had some words with Mother Nature.
We
right?
did. We actually did. We got outside. We had a beautiful day in nature. But I have a story that just to this day just cracks me up. One of the biggest. Earth Day events, one of my buddies was at that time in the restaurant business, and he calls me and he goes, did you hear what happened on Earth Day? And I said, do tell. He mm-hmm. goes, the caterer who did the bulk of the catering put all the food in,
mm-hmm.
but what kind of container?
Plastic.
Styrofoam.
Ooh.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, I really think that... I think that's... Was that Krusty the Clown?
It might have been.
Okay, after seeing that photo of Krusty the Clown, I don't know.
Are you still freaked out?
I'm actually very freaked out.
You should be.
You know, they say, like, right? Why do they use clowns in, like, horror movies? Right? I don't know why. It's just people really just don't like clowns. Anyway.
Do you know most kids are actually scared of clowns?
They are. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, you know, closing off on Earth Day, April 22nd, 1970, basically started 20 million Americans from all walks of life and is basically credited with launching this modern environmental movement, you know, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, Endangered Species. And, you know, I think that, you know, we all really have something to learn and we really all need to do our part, as small as it may be. And now more than 1 billion people participate in the activities of Earth Day every year, actually making it one of the largest, actually the largest
civic observance in the world. And I think, as I said, we can all do our daily part to ensure that we are, you know, really sort of, you know, observing this and, you know, taking care of Mother Nature.
Well, you know what? I'd like to do a big shout out to one of our great friends, Steve DeStante. I'd called him before with Vanderbilt Securities. He's got one of the first green buildings, LEED certified, as they say, on Long Island. And the other day he did a electric car show. So he had all kinds of electric cars in, and he had people coming in talking about solar and all these great things. I mean, you know, kudos. I mean, he's taking a real stance. And what I love is he's also pushing people into investing in green areas of life, you know.
Yes.
That's awesome. Awesome. So kudos, Steve.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, you know, Earth Day Network is a huge movement, and, you know, we can all participate. So I think it's important to do our fair share. So anyway, moving on, what are we doing? Oh, weird and wacky, no?
I'm feeling weird and wacky myself, so let's go with it.
Oh, we seem to be having some technical difficulties.
You know what? I think we're back on. I think one of the lines crisscrossed, so we're back.
Ah, excellent.
So let's get weird and wacky, shall we?
We will. So, I just wanted to talk about a couple of interesting things. You know, I mean, we've been talking about Passover for most of the show. And so I don't know if you know this, Dr. Day, but according to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Records.
Okay,
I love that. Records.
Maybe, Elaine will be interested in this. The world's largest matzo ball was unveiled in Tucson, Arizona in 2010. You know how much it weighed?
Do tell.
It weighed at 488 pounds.
Wait, say that again.
488 pounds. That's like two of you. I mean, that's a lot.
Wait, two of me?
I mean, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
One and a half. the giant
sure,
matzo ball.
Of
the giant matzo ball was made from more than 1,000 eggs and 125 pounds of matzo meal.
So you realize the only question that Elaine's going to have is, was it or was it not
covered in chocolate? Indeed. It probably could have been. So I just thought that was very interesting. And also, I mean, you know, when we think about the things that are allowed and not allowed for Passover, so Coca-Cola, of course, right, one of the biggest companies, I mean,
Wait, that shouldn't be allowed on any holiday.
I know it shouldn't. It should be allowed to, like, bleach your toilet. I agree.
Yes.
But Coca-Cola makes a special batch of kosher for Passover Coca-Cola, but they use real sugar instead of high fructose corn syrup, because apparently corn products are forbidden during the holidays.
Isn't that interesting?
And apparently you have to look for the bottles with yellow
caps.
Wait,
I love when you said that. Bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Bottles.
What else can we talk about in terms of Passover? I mean, basically, you know, food we know plays an important role in Passover, but there are a couple of things that actually we don't like, right? So mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Mayonnaise, we think that you should pass over at Passover. Okay? Now, apparently, most of the brands of kosher for Passover mayonnaise are made from cottonseed oil. And cottonseed oil is very bad. It's actually produced by a highly industrial process from the seeds of the cotton plant. And it's one of the four main genetically modified crops.
Hugely.
It contains high levels of pesticide residues and is unstable and rancid because of its high heat processing. So let's definitely pass over that.
Can we, please?
We must. We definitely must. But there was something else that was quite interesting. Something actually I read on New York Times just recently. Of more than 1 million Jews in New York City, the Ashkenazi Jews have actually, you know, forbidden to eat cookies, bread, rice, beans, and other products. But this year, apparently, the conservative Jewish movement
lifted an 800-year ban on legumes and rice after three influential rabbis argued to allow them. So now these kosher markets are basically selling these products they never carried before, which I think is pretty interesting.
And I heard quinoa. Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Which is great. So you got something that's got high protein, low glycemic. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, so yeah. So what's going on? I mean, we're pretty much going to wrap up the show. We certainly covered a lot of really interesting subjects today. And what's
busy
going on
weekend. I mean, it was definitely a busy weekend and a busy week and everything like that. I not sure what we're going to do next week. We could talk to our producer. Let me send a message through to the production room. Let's see what we're going to do next week. I'm not actually sure. But what do we have coming up? Oh, we have a kind of a busy week. We have a concert coming up on Sunday we're going to. I'm sure we're going to do, like, a lot of cooking and culinary adventures to share with everybody and offer a great show next Monday night.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, but I really do hope that everyone listening has had a wonderful evening with us tonight. And, you know, the weather's getting warmer here on the East Coast, so we're really looking forward to spending some more time outdoors, maybe doing some barbecuing and coming up some really healthy recipes that you can certainly cook outside and, you know, enjoy the rest of Passover for all who observe.
Yes, happy Passover to everybody, please.
Indeed.
Oh, you know what? Next week we have the Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby in Oregon.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Love it.
Absolutely. So a lot of really fun things to talk about. Hope everyone had a great time tonight. And we will join you next Monday night at 9 p.m.
Good night, everybody. Go get hot in the kitchen.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Nighty-night.